The Japanese economy stumbles along and workers adjust to a new normal in Tokyo.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. As efforts continue to cool the reactors at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear plant in Japan, there are reports of radiation levels 10 times the norm in Tokyo. Toyota said this morning it will keep its 12 auto plants in Japan shut down until at least next week. The Japanese stock market has rebounded somewhat today after fresh government support. And in Tokyo, life goes on, sort of. Yuichiro Nakajima is an investment banker in the city's financial district. He joins us now. Hello.
Hello.
Describe the city for us right now. Is it normal? Are people still going to their offices?
Well, the city of Tokyo is subject to power rationing. That's affected the train service and other forms of public transport. So it is far from normal. People are having to spend much longer time to get into the office. Some firms have actually told staff to stay at home. Indeed, some other companies have started sending their expats out of Japan. So it is by no means a normal situation.
But that's mostly, you're saying, because of the electricity situation and not because people are scared to go outside.
I don't think we've got to that stage. I think certainly people are worried about what's going on in Fukushima with the nuclear power plants. But there is no sense that an explosion is imminent or indeed that nuclear or radioactive materials floating down on Tokyo from Fukushima, which is several hundred kilometers away. You know, okay, there's always going to be some people who think like that, but most of the people, particularly those who have office work to do, I don't think they're subscribing to that line of thinking.
What about buying things like food and water? I've seen pictures of empty shelves at the stores. Are you able to get things that you need?
Well, it has been a little bit difficult to secure supply of certain items. Around where I live, it's been toilet paper, dairy products, instant food. But the government, as you may have noticed, the government has called on people not to engage in such hoarding behavior. And I think slowly that problem is being resolved, certainly where I am. I couldn't speak for the entire area of Tokyo.
Yuichiro Nakajima, an investment banker joining us from Tokyo. Thanks very much, sir.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks finally on the rebound this morning, in Asia at least. Tokyo shares are up more than 5% after yesterday's 10% drop. There was another big monetary injection from the Japanese central bank, which has now poured about $700 billion into the economy there. Also, the government indicated it may buy into the stock market. Toyota and Sony shot up almost 10% today. In Europe, stocks are down slightly after news that Portugal has had its debt downgraded by Moody's. That means it's going to be even more expensive for the country to borrow money. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 137 points to close at 11,855.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. And by Progressive Insurance, with Snapshot, a personalized program that bases rates on mileage and safe driving habits. Learn more at Progressive.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Well, here in the U.S., looks like the government will keep running, at least for a few more weeks. The House passed a stopgap budget measure yesterday that cuts $6 billion in spending over a three-week period. The measure is expected to be approved by the Senate and signed by the president this week. For more on all this, we're joined from Washington by the chair of the Senate Budget Committee, Democratic Senator Kent Conrad. Good morning.
Good morning.
How long can these short-term budget measures continue?
Well, they shouldn't continue much longer because it's an incredibly inefficient way to run any large entity, certainly the federal government.
Well, you're one of the six senators who's in this gang of six that may be the best hope, some think, for getting some kind of a compromise on the budget. Are tax increases on the table in that group?
We're borrowing 40 cents of every dollar that we spend. That means if you tried to do this just on the spending side of the ledger, you'd have to cut everything 40%. Social Security, Medicare, defense, that's just not realistic. Revenue is low, expenditures are high, both have to be addressed.
How important do you think it is that this gets solved this year before we get into a presidential election year?
I think it's critically important. The kind of long-range, comprehensive arrangement that is clearly needed is just unlikely to happen in a presidential election year. We need to act this year to put in place a plan that begins modestly, but then has big and bold action as you go through the remaining 10 years of the budget cycle.
Do you think that the events that are going on in Japan and in the Middle East and across North Africa have changed the dynamic in terms of our economic recovery?
Yes, I think without question. Rising oil prices threaten the recovery. What's happening in Japan causes another blow to confidence. So I think there's no question that these events that are external are having an adverse effect on our own recovery, which is really been proceeding in a pretty healthy way.
Do you think the Fed should continue its $600 billion bond buying program?
Yes, I do. I think most economists now believe that that has contributed to economic recovery. But again, what is so essential is that we put in place a long-term plan that brings the debt down. And if we do it, it'll pay big dividends for job creation and for opportunity for the people that we all represent.
Democratic Senator Kent Conrad, chair of the Senate Budget Committee, thanks so much for joining us.
Good to be with you.
And finally, if I told you that 80% of Americans went on the internet once a week, you'd probably think that number was low. But what if I told you that 80% of Americans under the age of 5 are on the internet once a week? That is the finding from the Joan Ganz Cooney Center and Sesame Workshop. All I can say is Marketplace.org is always kid-friendly as long as the kids like quantitative easing. I also keep the tweets G-rated at Jeremy Hobson. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
The fate of the Russian economy is closely linked to the Russian people, and the fate of the Russian people is up in the air.
Our government is at the crossroads. If they do nothing with alcohol and tobacco, the demographic problems would increase.
Telltale signs of a shrinking population. I'm Kai Rizdal. The high costs of poor health in Russia. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.